morning, folks, and welcome to you, each and every one. Boy, you look so good. So good to be here.
You look
so
good.
Good to see you, folks. So good. That is great. God is so good.
All the time.
All the time. It's great. I just thank you, folks, for all your... Thank you for all your prayers and all your cards and your visits and your fish and your apple pies. Tina, that was the biggest apple pie I ever seen. That lasted all week long. So great. And so just so thankful that you people just have helped me so much. And just to know that you were behind me, that was really worth it. Now, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your concern. And everything went so well. I was only disappointed in one thing. And that was that, you know, when I went in the operation at 7 o'clock on Friday morning and woke up then Saturday morning at 5 after 1. And so 16, 18 hours. And so I was disappointed because I thought, well, during that 8-hour operation, maybe I would have an outer body experience. And then I'd write a book. You know, I'm making a movie, you know. So, but, you know, I understand that out of body experience. I understand those people, how that happens and so forth, but you just don't have that and so forth. No, I'm just kidding you there. Wasn't expecting that. I was expecting good things because I had good people that cared about me. Thank you. I had a verse here I want to share with you. I had a thing here I was going to share with you. I'll find it here in just a minute. Be patient with me. Psalms 107, and I'm going to pick out a few verses here to share with you as we begin this morning. And verse 1 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then over in verse 19 it says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is good." Let us praise him.
Glory. Open the song this morning. I'm going to use number 60, singing the first and last verse, and I'll have the prayer. It's all stand.
Together in your house on the Lord's day, come here and sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Now go with each individual that open their hearts and mind and receive the message of the hour. Be with us now through the further exercise of service. Guard and guide and direct us and save us in the end is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now for communion hymn, we'll read 158, first and fourth verse.
Prince,
what it reads, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thankful for all the new blessings that you bestow upon us. We can be back in our house this morning, sit around my table. We're especially thankful to you for the love which we partake of in remembrance of thy son, Jesus Christ, that gave his life. We may have life and have everlasting. We ask that you be with us through this service. We ask that you forgive us of ourselves. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
We're thankful that we have a safe and comfortable house that we can come and worship. We know that this can only happen through you. We're thankful for those that give and make this possible. We ask that you use this offering for the better of thy kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm trying to keep up with what's going on, but if I leave something out, well, just raise your hand and help me out. And only thing I know is going to be taking place, that'll be 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be going to the hymn sing, which will be over to Minersville. And so we ask you to kind of plan and make plans to go and be a part of that and support that, and it'll be great. You'll be blessed if you do. And if there's something else that's taking place, please share it with me. We have a birthday coming. Oh, that's Bergen Tunnel is the 20th. That's just this coming week. Oh, man, he's getting to be up there. Yeah. Don't tell him I said that. Yeah. Okay. Let us look at our prayer list, and certainly we have a number of people on our prayer list still yet. And we're so thankful for the prayers that goes up for people, and it's so helpful. And just a couple that we noticed on there that has brought to my mind. If you notice, Virgil is not here this morning. Virgil was been taken to a hospital. Or to the doctor, a hospital, wasn't he? And checked out, and we're not sure what exactly what's going on with Virgil. Virgil's home now, though, but he's not able to be here. So certainly pray earnestly for Virgil that the things will work out for him, and he'll get back on his feet here and be back with us. And then Phyllis Bruin, that we've had on our prayer list for quite some time. I called her a couple times. I called her Doodle's aunt. It's really not Doodle's aunt, but I mean, it just seems to be, doesn't it? You know, there's some people that it just seems to be getting anyhow. But they're so close, and she's in the hospital, not doing well, so I certainly pray for her and her husband that things will go well for them. And in Omer here, we've been looking for some things for him to hear from him. We hope that he can hear from his doctors, things will work out and get that done and be healed up, and he'll be back full force again. And gosh, I mean, just...
You betcha. I have one to add.
Okay.
My friend Patricia John that we've had on the prayer list, okay. She's not doing well at all, but we'll call her daughter, they took her to the hospital Friday night, and so she's in St. Joseph Hospital, and Patricia's on her deathbed at the nursing home, so we need to just be praying for the two of them.
Okay, all right. Who else on there that we have some different ones on there? Your sister, I meant to ask you before, and your sister doing better? Your sister?
Yes, she's trying to get a nursing home for them to go in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, bless her heart. Well, let's just pray things will work out good for them, you know. You know, oftentimes we don't know what's best for the people, but when we do, we want to pray for that. But then when you don't, we'll just pray that knowing that God's going to work out those things, what is best. And sometimes it's not what we want and what we would like to have happen, but... In the long run, then we'll find out that's been the best thing, and God knows better than we do, doesn't he? And so he'll work those things out. So there's many ways you can pray for different ones and different needs. And if you don't particularly know what's going on in their life, just pray, Lord, that your will be done in their life, and it certainly will. We know several, Joe Carol Wilson and Bill Wilson, as you know, they're home here and back in Sadieville. Things are working a little better for them and such. who else under Vi McMain, naturally not doing any better, and not able to be out at all, and so forth, and we just need to pray that the Lord would work with her and help her. She needs encouragement, but she doesn't take encouragement too well, does she? You know, and bless her heart, and she just kind of I don't know what you'd call it. She's just kind of down and doesn't want to do anything. So let's pray that somehow or another that her spirit could be lifted, and maybe she could be out and be back with some of you folks, be back in church some, and that'd be great if she could just be with you folks a time or two. That would be a great healing for her and for all those folks on there. So keep it all in your mind. The caregivers, you know, boy, I become more aware. And I told the nurses and the doctors, you know, I said, you know, I've always prayed for the good things that we had to take care of people, but boy, I've become so much more aware of that just recently. And the little nurses that took care of me, I said, you've been my prayers from now on. They are. And so we're so thankful that we have people that dedicate themselves to caring for others, and the nursing home, that's a tremendous work. And it's not a very, Thanksgiving work in a sense. I mean, but somebody has to do it. And I'm so thankful that there are people that can do that, will do that. And so be very thankful and pray that the Lord would help them and use them in a great way to help others. I mean, it's so wonderful to see how God works through people, to work with people, to help people, to have better lives. And so it's great. So pray for the caregivers and our nation, the service people. We just continue to pray. We're looking at something now that very well could call up some people and cause us some more war. We hope not. So let's pray against that, and that we don't get into more opposition with other countries. And who else we have here? And then for this church, and pray for each other. Just be concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then pray for this community, that God would bless this community. God would use you to help in a good way to share the glorious gospel to those that do not know Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful to know that we have a Savior, that we have a friend, that we have someone who never leaves us, always with us, and always comforting. And there's people out there that doesn't know that. So let's pray that some way, somehow, the Spirit will use you, the Spirit will work in their lives, that they would become a part of what you are, a part of the Lord's church, and be blessed like you are. So much to be thankful for, yet so much to be praying for. So we come to a prayer time. We have a great God who's got an ear listening, ear open and listening to us right now.
For prayer hymn, we're using number 176, saying both verses, and Jerry will have a prayer. It's all, Sam.
With that.
building we come into is under a roof of love, and just honor you and lift up your name each and every day. We're thankful for the physicians that worked with Benny and kept him safe and got him back with us as soon as possible. We just miss him so much when he's not here. We just thank you for being in Maxine and the comfort that we get from hearing them and watching them in the work of the Lord. Again, Father, we just want to remember all those that's on our prayer list. You'll touch them and restore them back to their place of usefulness. And just bless everyone that went to extra effort to be here today. And again, Father, just thank you for the men and women overseas that's fighting for our freedoms. And watch over them, keep them safe, get them back to us in return. And again, Father, we just thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day of our lives. Forgive us where we fail you, Father, for these things. Pray in your name.
Invitation hymn be number 325, 325. And this time the choir will bring special.
Wretch like me, I heard about his groaning, of his precious.
Thank you, Kathleen and Guar.
Very powerful. I don't know whether you remember, I had on my email.
Thank you.
I said, one of the things we're going to do when I get back, we're going to have Kathleen to crank up. Victory in Jesus. Amen. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I used this same verse on Mother's Day.
And I felt a little ashamed myself in a way because I thought I was a little hard on mothers that day. But
so we'll get back at fathers today. I'm going to use the same verse, but really not wanting to really preach to you fathers, but just want to encourage you
and want to say some things to you that I think we need as fathers to be very concerned about, and hopefully it'll be a challenge to you and to anybody else here, to the women and the young people alike. I hope it will be somewhat of a challenge to you, and I hope you'll see that as we go through this.
And of course, the writer of Proverbs there in 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it. And so what he's saying there is that we should be concerned about our young people, about our children, and our young people in particular. But as we start this morning, I think, you know, there's not a higher calling. I don't believe there is a higher calling than a father has of shaping his children, to see them enjoy the beauties of Christ, and to come to love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, and mind, to share with them the wonderful, wonderful plan that God has in store for them. We need to do that, fathers. We need to do that. But I want to say this, you know, by God's standard, and I looked at several passages for this, and Ephesians 5, 25 and 10, and you could get several others, and Paul writes to the Corinthians talking about it. But when I think about a father, I have to believe this from the scripture. I think the scripture sets forth for us that God's standard is for anyone to be a father, he has to be, first of all, a husband. Paul writing to Ephesians, to the Corinthians and so forth, especially the Corinthians, and he talks about, you know, that a wife should do good toward her husband, and also talks about the husband love the wife and such. So God made male and female, and he joined them together to be one and to have family and so forth. And I believe until you will never be a responsible father until you are, first of all, a husband. And you love your wife, as the scriptures teaches us, to love them. The implication here in Proverbs 22, when it talks about training up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. That gives us an idea that the possibility of the leaving. But from that verse on to the rest of that, the end of that book, it has to do with the children. Now, fathers, you can teach and train your children, and you can do the best you can, but that does not guarantee you that they're going to always follow the Lord. It does not guarantee they'll come back to the Lord if they go away. But you've done your part, and the scripture's there, and if young people will look at the rest of that book, they'll see that it's their responsibility then to carry on and to do the things they need to do. But we as fathers need to encourage them and teach them, introduce them at an early age to God. And it's what he's got for them. Help them to come to know Jesus as their Savior, as their daily companion, and through the Holy Spirit. And you've done your part. But we need to do that. We need good spiritual fathers. But you know, it's quite a shame because there's a lot of fathers that are not spiritual. And you know, speaking of that, you can also play a big part in that. When you find young people whose fathers does not care about God, who does not care whether their children experience the good things of God, does not care whether they have a hope of eternal life in heaven or not, they're just caring for themselves and so forth, that gives you an opportunity to share with those young people. And it's one of the best things that I know is young people sharing with our young people. And if your young people, Father, if your young people knows God
and is able to share with other young people. That's a tremendous, wonderful, wonderful thing that can happen in a person's life, in a young person's life, especially when nobody is concerned about their spiritual welfare. We live in a world which is, the culture of the day is so alluring. It's so quick to fill the eye with the lust of the world. Young people, my heart goes out to them because they get caught up so quick, so easy, and things look so good, and then Satan has such luring promises for them. And we need to realize that there is a real battle goes on out there. God loves the little children, and Satan wants the little children. And Jesus said he just come to destroy. He come to steal and to kill and destroy. And you look at some of the young people's lives and you see how that Satan has got a hold of them and how they've destroyed their lives. A terrible thing to happen to a young person. It just belittles me. It just breaks my heart when I read about young people who 19, 20 and so forth caught up in things of life and they're in jail for the rest of their life. They've done such criminal things that life is just destroyed. Yet they can still come to know Jesus and have peace in the heart and mind if they will. But that's another story. But we live in a culture when it's so quick to fill your eye with lust. And the young people today, they must guard against those crooked things out there. They must guard against the wickedness out there. There are so many, so much out there that will rob you of your joy of the Lord. And we have to be equipped. We must know. We must recognize those. One of the great problems we have, I think, with young people is they just don't know the difference sometimes of what's good and what's bad. And that's not knocking young people at all. It's just that they've never been taught. They've never been acquainted with that. They need to know so that they can bypass those things which are not good for them. Those things will destroy their life. So I stress the need for fathers to see that children know there is a God. If there's anything that you want your child to know, Father, is that there is a God. And that God loves them. And he has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plan for their life. A wonderful plan for their life. It's through Jesus Christ that we can have a beautiful relationship with the Heavenly Father. It is Jesus that came to seek and to save and give meaning to life. We hear people talking about, I'm looking for meaning to life. And the young people are looking for meaning to life. The real meaning of life is in Jesus Christ. He is the meaning of life. Now, Father, here's something that kind of really troubles me. I don't know. We just, in the last few weeks, we have seen, and some of you people have experienced, you've been to your children or your nephews or nieces or somebody's graduation. They've spent 12 years in school, and you have been there and celebrated with them their graduation. I tried to get some handle on how many young people graduated from the 12th grade in Kentucky this year, but I couldn't get any type of a figure there, and got some old figures. But there's hundreds and thousands across the nation, and hundreds and thousands in Kentucky, no doubt, that graduated. And it's been surveyed. I don't know how many of those will go into college. A great many of them will. But there has been a survey, and I'm not too sure if Barnita did this survey or not, but it's been a survey for every 100 Christian young people who has been in the church, grown up in the church even, and are Christian young people, so to speak. And they go off to college, and it's not long until they quit the church. They give up their Christianity. And I think about that. And this survey says that out of 100 that enrolls, 75% of them will drop out. Think about that. Only 25 out of 100 will stay true to the Lord and serve the Lord. It says, though, from the time, say, 20 years old when they drop out, from that time up into the 30s, early 30s, half of them will come back. Well, I tried to do some math on that, and so that would be about, 37 and a half. And so I figured that 25 that's going to stay, and then
half of 75 that will return, that's 63. That leaves 37% of the college, young people who are going into college this year will be gone, lost to the world and damned and end up in hell if something doesn't change. That's unacceptable. Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Here's a story. True story. Young lady went off to college. She had grown up in a church. She'd been active in the youth group. In fact, she was helping with the youth groups. She goes off in college, and 4 weeks down the road, her father gets a phone call. And she said, "Dad, I no longer believe in God." What? This man was devastated. Here he thought she was one of the ones that would. Why? Story goes he drove about 4 hours to get down to college. Spent the weekend with her with no results. Why did that happen? Why did you decide to do that, he asked. And she says, "My professor is an atheist, and he tells us that the Bible is all full of myths and that there's no God. He has convinced me." Why could that happen? Here's my thought. She just didn't know the truth. You know, I would venture to say right here in this congregation, I say there's kindness and love. That if somebody walked right up to you and asked you if God exists, what could you say? How would you answer them? You know, the majority of the people can't do that. I'm so glad you people can. Young people are not taught the truth of the scripture. They're not taught the truth about God. And I get that from this. And I'm not trying to knock anything that's happening. And certainly nothing that's happening that's good for our young people and for the glory of God. But you see what is happening here. Young people have grown up in church, and they just haven't been well grounded. How many churches this morning, if you was to look at them? I watched a few while I was off. I was up early and caught several. And you see them, and we have prosperity churches. We have people who are telling people how good they are and what they deserve, what they ought to have, what they deserve. Give me a word, somebody, for that. They're promoting self and so forth. There's a word for that. I've lost it. But they are being swayed by that. They don't know the truth of Christianity. Listen, folks, if you really know that God loves you, and if you really know that God has a plan for your life, and if you've really dedicated yourself to following the Lord Jesus Christ and honoring Him for what He's done with you, you're not going to have any trouble with that atheist preacher, with that atheist teacher. And did you realize this? And this is not mine, this is a survey, and I take it to be a true survey. That is 5 times more likely that your young person go to college this year will be under an atheist teacher than an ordinary person. Think about that. And you take a young person, you put them in there, and they haven't been grounded in the truth of God. What's that person going to do, fathers? So I encourage you, and I tell you, and I ask you, don't we need to do a better job of training our young people
this young lady come home from church, or come home from college. And she said to her dad, my professor said that Jesus couldn't have been born of a virgin. Said that's a biological impossibility. And that father said, listen, you go back and tell that meathead professor of yours that the first man that was on this earth came here and was brought here without mother or father, either one. And if Jesus wants to bring his son through a virgin, he will, or he can, and he did. Tell him to chew on that for a while. You got to have answers for them. If you don't have answers, young people, I can see them. An atheistic professor can belittle a teenager that's in the first grade of college, in the freshman of college. He can shame them. He can make them feel so little that they will denounce their Christianity. Fathers, we can't have that. We have to train our children up in a way that they will not be able to depart, that they won't depart from. They haven't been taught about the truth about what they believe. Again, I would say this with kindness, that you could take and walk up to about anybody, and what percent of them, if you would ask them, what do you believe? What would you tell them? What would you tell them? And you think about young people. The fathers haven't really grounded in the Word. And they're faced with that. What are they going to say? Now, here's another thing I get. We have, and I started out with the prosperity churches and so forth, and those motivating churches, you know. There's just a great number of churches. You know, motivation is good. But motivation doesn't take the place of godliness. Motivation makes you feel good for a while. It's emotional things. And again, I'm not trying to be critical, but just let's face true facts. When we're looking out here and you're seeing all this concert type, so-called worship, and you know, and I'm so glad that I like what Jesus said. You know, Jesus said, if you're not against me, they're for us. So I hope that even some of those that people will come to know Jesus. But what's happening? They get caught up in an emotion. An emotion will only last a day or so. By Tuesday morning, that's gone. But here's what happens. Now, I really believe this is what happens. That they get all caught up in these emotions. And there's a preacher, and I've heard some of them, and they preach a pretty doggone good sermon. But we still have this back music. We still have this swinging and swaying. We still have this, all the commotion, all the emotion stirred up. They don't hear what he's saying. They don't understand what he's saying. If he's speaking the truth, they don't understand it. Now, I tell you, I ask you this. You have been caught up emotionally. You have been excited about something and really caught up emotionally. And somebody has tried to tell you something and you just didn't comprehend it. Is that right? You didn't understand. And here's another way you can look at that. You have been so emotionally drained with something and someone tries to comfort you and tell you and so forth. You don't get it. Is that right? Emotion stands in the way of you understanding and accepting and realizing the truth. That's a big part of what's taking place. When a person is worked up emotionally, it's hard to get anything across to them. I know that through my daughters. They've come home sometimes and all excited about something that's going to happen. I try to tell them something about them, and they don't hear me. They didn't hear me. That's just the way life is, isn't it? You've got sons, you've got daughters, and they did the same thing, and you've experienced the same thing. And sometimes you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. See, because they're caught up in something else. And that's taking place in our churches, in our so-called churches today. And that's why we're having such a fall away. Oh,
So I want to say this, number one, real quickly here, fathers. Responsible fathers will teach their children about God. Now, you're saying, well, you've been hard on some people that doesn't teach your children, they're irresponsible. I have to, yes. You can teach your children and everything else, but if you don't teach them about God, you're an irresponsible father. The best thing you can do in your life is to teach your children about God. And so I say, responsible fathers. And I want to throw grandfathers in there too, Omer. We were in that boat, and the servo was in there in that boat with grandfathers. And just as I said, the grandmothers had played a big part with the mothers. The grandfathers does. I say to you, grandfathers, if your son is not teaching your grandchildren about God, you do it. You see it's done. You tell him to do it, and if he doesn't do it, you do it. Responsible fathers and grandfathers will teach their children. I believe that fathers are going to be held accountable. If we fail to teach our children about God, we are going to be held accountable. Fathers must realize that the Spirit gave them charge. And I could look into several scriptures and share with you where the fathers have been charged. The father's supposed to be the head of the family. The father's supposed to lead his wife and his children in godly ways. The father's supposed to train up the children. He's the responsible one there. And if he's not responsible for that, he's going to be accounted for that. Listen, the Holy Spirit didn't give charge of the children over to the mother. Even though I said the mother had such a tremendous place. And they do play a great and wonderful place in young people's lives. It did not give it to the daycare people. It did not give it to the babysitters, you know. People, one person comes to my mind, they said they had a babysitter, and they had the babysitter to read the Bible to them and so forth. Hey, you think a babysitter, how much of that took place? I just kind of doubt that a lot of it took place. The babysitter's not going to teach them, that's for sure. And the nannies is not going to teach them. He did not give it to the grandparents, and I say that, but again, the grandparents, it's not your responsibility. But I want to tell you, grandparents, if your son is not doing it, take that responsibility. He did not give it to the church. I, at one time in my life, thought the best thing I could do was drop my girls off at church. I thought I was doing a great thing. But I come to find out that was the wrong thing. I come to realize that I needed to be there more so as they. I needed to lead them there. Didn't leave it to the church, didn't leave it to the school, and didn't leave it to the youth programs. I've had a few arguments with people over the youth groups. I'm against youth leaders, you know. I really am. I never intend to have, as well as they are and as well as things goes, I never intend to have a youth minister under me. If we have youth groups, if the parents don't take care of it, we won't have it. I've seen and I've read too much stuff. So don't give the care over to the church. Don't give the care over to youth leaders. You be right in there with it. He gave it to the fathers. Fathers, we bear the responsibility, the accountability, and the consequences for carrying out our duties as fathers, responsible fathers. And also, we are in line for the rewards for doing it. The greatest rewards. some of the greatest rewards I have is to know where my girls is at. On Sunday morning, we've got one absent this morning. But I know where she's at. See, I'd bet my life on she's in service in Florida. That's so rewarding to know a that your children are there seeking the Lord in their lives, seeking the Lord. You'll be rewarded for that. And I think, you know, I'm not looking for other rewards. The greatest reward is just seeing and knowing that. Not only do fathers have the responsibility to teach their children about God, they have the possibility. Listen, responsibility and possibility. They have the possibility of bringing their godly children, bringing up godly children in spite of the culture we're living in. You know, it just blesses my heart to see young people being brought up in this culture by their godly father and mother, and they're able to cope with this stuff out there. They're able to stand against it. They're able to not participate in this, some of this stuff that's taking place out there because they have been brought up right. And so not only are we it speaks of our responsibility and accountability, it speaks of our possibility of bringing godly children up in a community, up in a world that will be a blessing to the world, to those around them, and certainly to the parents. And when I think about the nursing homes, and you go in there and visit, and there's people laying in there, and they've got family, and they haven't been visited for a year or longer. They have young people. I saw this when we spent a lot of time with this Mrs. Lee. She spent a lot of time in the nursing home. We had the privilege of visiting her so often, and it was our joy. But in doing so, we came in contact with so many others, and it was so disheartening to talk to somebody and they hadn't had a visitor for a month, yet they have family. But what a blessing it is to bring young people, fathers, to bring young people up in the nurture of the Lord and have them concerned about family. And if you're in a nursing home, they'll come and see you. And they'll take care of you. See about you. What a blessing that is. Speaks of the possibility of spiritual men leading spiritual homes in a spiritual way that brings spiritual children. But most of all, it speaks of the possibility of heaven. I've had the privilege of living to be 83 years old, and now I've got a new lease on life, it seems like, and I'm going to enjoy them more. But all that time, I've enjoyed my daughters and so forth. But that's not all. I look forward to greater joy than that, to ones walking down that street that appears to be as pure as gold, and walking up to the tree of life, maybe sticking our feet over the bank into the water of life, river of life. So, fathers, you have great possibility. They may not be all that you want to be in this life, but if you'll teach them about God, train them the way they should go, be the responsible father you ought to be, you will have that joy of eternal life with them. What a possibility of leading your young people, your sons and your daughters, into heaven. You know, we don't know who's going to be there first and last. But should I go first and my family remain, wouldn't it be one of the greatest joys to introduce your children as they come in? That's possible. How's it possible if you'll be a responsible father, if you have the possibility, you'll teach them about God? It'll be a reality more than a possibility. So let me close saying this. Responsible fathers will... Responsible grandfathers will teach their children about God. It is your duty. And I like to look at it as a privilege, and I hope you would too, more than a duty, to teach your children about God. You will see that they're taught the truth about God. example is Timothy and what in 1 Timothy 1:5. And we see Timothy there, and the Apostle Paul has taken him in. And young Timothy, and he said, you know, he says to him, Paul writes to him, he said, when I recall that the faith that is in you that was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, you know, that we talked about that at length, you know, we don't know exactly what happened to the father, but we're fathers now. And isn't it wonderful to have someone to speak of your child and say, we know of their faith and we know where you come from. You're so-and-so's daughter, you're so-and-so's son, and we know where you come from. It's our duty here to teach, and I want to close with here in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. And yeah, you say, well, now that's talking about the Israelites, but you catch what's talking to you. Not only are they talking about the Israelites, but listen to this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess that. Yeah, he's speaking to Israel. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God thy fathers hath promised thee in the land of flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when they sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I guess the question is, as we close this morning, are you a responsible father? And you know, if you're not, you can become that right now. You can dedicate your life to being a responsible father. And maybe your children are growing up, and you can still work with them. And you can work with other children. Let us pray. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we've come to know you as our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've given us the great privilege, Heavenly Father, of bringing young people into this life. But Heavenly Father, help us to not just leave them as young people to spare for their own selves, but help us to teach them about you, Almighty God. You have, you that has the plan. You that can work things for good for them that love you. You, Heavenly Father, that can make things happen that no one else can happen. Help us to teach them about this God that can do that for them. And then, Heavenly Father, if we just know other young people, help us to be a father. Help us to be a grandfather to them. Help us to help them to know you. Help us, Almighty God, to raise up a people that will honor you and bring glory and honor to you. And we know that you will richly reward responsible fathers who will teach their children about God. Amen. I don't know how. You may want to answer an invitation call for some way, somehow, some reason that I don't know about. If you do, come. He's got an open arm. Stand with me. First verse only. Folks, we've been in the Lord's house. How wonderful it is to be here with you. And I hope His words has been encouraging to you. And I hope that you will be blessed by it. And I hope that young people will be blessed
by you as you go forth from this place. Oh, how a wonderful thing it is to live for God and bring the young people especially to God, especially our children. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've come together, and thank you for the fathers that are here. Thank you for the responsible fathers that we have, Heavenly Father, that teach their children about God. Heavenly Father, that if there's anything to be, it should be that we teach them about you, because you have the answers, you have the provisions, you have the help, you have all that we really need, Heavenly Father, as we look to you. Thank you for making this possible through Jesus Christ, your Son. Now we ask, Heavenly Father, you would bless our people as they leave this place. Grant to them a great day as they gather together as children honoring their Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be very appreciative for what responsible fathers has done for us. So now, Heavenly Father, forgive us and help us to do good toward one another, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe Doodle wants to. So if you'll sit for just a moment.
I got $325 gift certificates that need to be given away this morning for the oldest, the youngest, and the most children here. So I got the oldest hand down, I think. Older, you got a gift certificate. And Father, with the most children here,
I've been waiting for this for 32 years. God bless you. Have a great day.